All right, if you have your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. We're just going to look at a short portion of this story here, and we'll cover it as we go. Genesis chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself, his face toward the ground, and he said, Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your way. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for bringing us into your house this morning to study your word. Be with the service this morning. Help everything that's said and done here this morning to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've preached on the stories of Sodom and Gomorrah here, and covered a lot of different angles of this story of God's judgment, and we've even talked about the intercession of Abraham calling for God to not judge the righteous with the wicked. I want to look this morning a little bit at Lot's interaction with these two angels. Now, just to cover a little bit of background here, Lot, I believe, is in the wickedest city on earth. I believe if there had been a worse city, one that was more contrary to the things of God at that point in time, God would have been judging that particular city instead of Sodom. God going out of his way to judge that particular city tells me that that was either the worst or at least one of the worst that was around. Now, we do find later on in the New Testament, God basically saying it's going to be better for Sodom and Gomorrah in the judgment than some of the other cities that Jesus went to that didn't believe in them. But basically, just for background, Lot is in one of the wickedest places on earth. Now, the Bible does say that it vexed his righteous spirit. Abraham prayed for the righteous of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God saw fit to lead Lot and his immediate family out of Sodom. So that tells me that God viewed Lot as righteous. He was obedient to God enough that he wasn't considered one of the wicked of the city. Now, these angels here that Lot's going to interact with, these angels are here for a purpose. They're here for a reason. And that purpose or that reason, they've come for the purpose of destruction. They've come, according to what God told Abraham, to see if Sodom and Gomorrah was as bad as he had heard it was, and if it was, they were going to destroy it. And you'll find later in the story, we're not going to read it this morning, but later on in the story, they tell Lot to go into the mountains, and then later they tell him to go into a certain city because they can't do anything until he reaches safety. They're there for one reason and one reason only, and that's to destroy the wicked city of Sodom. But these angels are going to come to Sodom. And the Bible says when Lot sees them, about the middle of verse 1, it says, And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. I want to ask you why Lot invites these angels in, and why Lot takes care of these angels. This is something I had never thought about, but it appears that Lot knows that they are angels. Because he considers himself, he says, turn in, I pray thee, in verse 2, turn in, I pray thee, into your servant's house. He considered them to be his master, and he was their servants. Now, whether he actually knew that they were angels from God, I don't know, but he considered himself to be their servant. Not only does he know or appear to know that they're angels of God, but he knows how to take care of them. He knows what they need. So the obvious question is, how does he know? How does Lot know that these are angels of the Lord, or at least men of God? And how does he know what to do with them, how to deal with them? You know, there's been a lot of times that the Lord, the angel of the Lord, which could even be Jesus Christ himself, or an angel has appeared to Abraham. Read through the first part of the book of Genesis and find how many times that the Lord appeared to Abraham. Or the angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham. Or just shortly before this, there was three angels. Three angels that appeared before Abraham. No doubt Lot has seen some of these interactions and heard of some of these interactions. Lot entertaining these angels is a passed down tradition. That's what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning, is passing down the traditions of the things of God. Tradition does not have to be passed down to your children or even family members. I believe that should be our desire, is our family to receive godly instruction and godly direction from us. But we can pass on tradition to anybody around us. Anybody that's willing to pay enough attention to what we do or say for us to have an impact on them, we have the opportunity to pass on godly traditions to them. Now, on the other hand, we ought to be the ones that are willing to receive and learn godly things that are being passed on to us. I don't believe any of us are to the point that we've got it all straightened out and figured out. And until we get to that point, somebody can teach us. Even the Apostle Paul says, I count not myself to have apprehended. He's saying, I haven't got it all yet, but I'm working on it. We should pass on the things of God to those around us by example, like Abraham did. Now, in our story here, Lot recognizes the people of God. I say that it appears that he knew that they were angels. Whether he does or not could be debated. And if somebody doesn't believe they did, that's no big deal. But one thing for sure, he knew they were different people. He knew more than likely that they were sent by God. So Abraham seemed to be able to recognize the Lord and the Lord's people, and he had passed that on to Lot. Abraham had a relationship with God to the point that when God came to visit him, he knew it was God coming to visit him. When God spoke to him, he knew it was God speaking to him, and he had passed on that tradition. You know, we ought to teach those around us to recognize God's people and respect them. What does Lot do when the angels come to him? He went out and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He showed reverence and respect to the people that God had sent. That's something in our world today that's lacking, is being reverent and respectful to the people that God has put in our life. How many family situations Do the parents not have the respect from the children like they should have? We were talking about that in Sunday school. The husband don't have the respect in the family that he should. How many people in an employment situation don't have the respect for the authority over them that they should? Even our law enforcement situation in our world today, people don't have the respect for authority that they should. In the church, it can be the same way. People can get to where they don't recognize and understand the people that God has put in a position of not necessarily authority, but a position of leadership. In fact, the Bible teaches if you study it to have respect unto your elders. Even those that aren't in a position of a pastor or a parent, there are people that God has put in our life that are to teach us. And if we don't recognize them and respect them, we can't very well learn from them. As far as passing down this tradition, people notice who we respect and who we honor and who we don't. When I go into a church or I go to hear a preacher preach, I have a tendency to try to figure out who that preacher's wife is. And I watch her. If she don't respect him, then he's probably not that respectable. If I go into another church and I'm there to listen to a preacher preach or a pastor preach, I'll look at that preacher's members and watch them. Do they respect their pastor? Do they respect their Sunday school teacher? Do they take care of their elders? What is the respect and honor of these people? You know, you can destroy a Christian's chance to help you lead somebody that you love in the right direction by criticizing that person around them. Our church members, our church, we call ourselves the body of Christ. We're members of the body of Christ. Each particular member has a specific purpose, right? We don't all do the same job. We don't all accomplish the same thing. There may be somebody that I care about that I try and try and try to reach with the things of God, and they won't listen to me. But if Sam got the opportunity to talk to them, they might pay attention to him. But if I sit around and talk about how terrible Sam is in front of them, I wouldn't do that. But if I did, would they listen to him when he got the chance? We need to be careful that we don't destroy or damage the testimony of the people that God has put around us. You know, even a false statement about somebody, even a little bit of criticism when we're in a bad mood or when we've had a little argument, and God's people don't always get along, just like the people of the world don't get along. There's going to be times there's conflict. There's going to be times there's misunderstanding. And in a moment of aggravation, you could say something about one of God's people that would damage their testimony. We need to make sure, just like Abraham did, we pass down a tradition of being respectful toward God's people. Abraham apparently passed on a tradition of being courteous. What does it mean to be courteous? You look it up in the dictionary, it means polite, respectful, or considerate. These people were strangers. The Bible says there came two angels to Sodom at even, and he didn't know who they were. He didn't know them by name. He may or may not have known they were sent by God. He probably did not know their purpose there. But he still took the time to go out of his way to greet them. How important is it to speak to people? You speak to them even if you're just saying hello in passing. You're kind of breaking the ice. You're opening up a line of communication just by being polite, being courteous. Sometimes simply greeting people and speaking to them can lead to the opportunity to witness to them or counsel them in the things of God. But if you don't open the line of communication, if you're not courteous, you can't speak to them. How many times I don't know how many times I've held a door open for somebody going into a restaurant or going into a gas station. And because of doing that, they they stop and say hi and ask me how I am and sometimes who I am. And there have been occasions where had the opportunity to stop and talk to them for a while and let them know who I am and what I do and what I believe. And before you know it, I'm able to give them some verses of scripture and talk to them about some things in their life just from simply being courteous. Being courteous is a example of your testimony. Anybody want to listen to somebody or spend time around anybody or take counsel from anybody that's rude and obnoxious? If we want to be what God wants us to be, if we want to have the type of influence that we need to have, we need to be the kind of people that people will look up to. Here's a good example. I don't know how many of y'all have the habit of trying to pass out gospel tracts. But let's just suppose that you go to a restaurant and you sit down and eat. And while you're there, you're a little harsh on the waitress. You're rushing them. You're not saying thank you. You're not courteous. You're not polite. And then you get up, and because you don't think the waitress did a very good job, you either don't leave a tip at all or don't leave a good tip. But then you turn around and put a tract on the table because you want to give that person the gospel. How effective do you think that's going to be? It's not going to be. Because in that person's eyes, you don't have a good testimony. You weren't courteous. You wasn't polite. You didn't act like a Christian. So why would they want to look at what you're giving them, what you're trying to tell them? You know, sometimes greeting people like here in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah here, sometimes greeting somebody opens the door for them to talk to you. It opens the door for them to impart needed information to you. Now, Lot is going to be spared in the destruction of Sodom. There's a lot of reasons that Lot was spared. Number one, I believe that Lot was, for the most part, a righteous person. Abraham has already made intercession for Lot. When Abraham goes to God and says, "Well, for 10 righteous people, will you spare the city?" God knows exactly who Abraham's talking about. God knows exactly what Abraham's worried about. But in some way, Lot is spared in the destruction of Sodom because of his relation with these two angels. They're going to come into his house. When things get bad and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah try to do what the people of Sodom and Gomorrah do, Lot's going to do his best to stand up for these two angels. He's going to try to protect them. And because of his relationship with these angels, they're literally going to take him by the hand. If you study the story, they're going to take him by the hand. They're going to take his wife by the hand. They're going to take two of his daughters by the hand, and they're going to lead them out of the city. There was enough hesitation in the family of Lot. You know, Lot's wife's going to turn around and it's going to cost her her life even after she gets out of the city. There was enough hesitation in the family of Lot that they might not would have left on their own. They might not would have left the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, but because Lot has built a relationship with these two angels, he's greeted them, he's been courteous, he recognized them as the people of God, then God's going to be merciful and these two angels are going to actually lead him by the hand out of the city. You know, there may be people in our life, you know, even in the New Testament it talks about entertaining angels unaware. And I don't know that God would actually send in our day and time an angel in physical form to try to tell us something or lead us in a particular direction, but I do believe he sends people to our into our lives to give us direction and to give us leadership. Sometimes just getting to know people or let them give us the information that we need. Because Lot has spoke to them, because Lot has dealt kindly with them, because Lot has been courteous with them, they're going to tell him what he needs to know. Tell him that he needs to get out of the city and why. And then just like Abraham, Lot is going to provide for these men. He offered them a place to stay, and he offered them a meal. You know, Abraham had passed down the tradition of being a blessing when he had the opportunity. You think about this. Abraham has actually entertained the Lord several times in his life. Capital L-O-R-D. That's, I believe, talking about Jesus Christ. There have been times that the Lord came to Abraham and Abraham had the opportunity to cook a meal for the Lord and the Lord ate it. How many other people, besides the few people that Jesus was around during his earthly ministry, can say they actually entertained the Lord and provided for him? Not many. But you know, the Bible says, in so much as you've done it unto the least of one of these, you've done it unto me. There's going to be people that Jesus said, you've done this for me. You visited me when I was sick. You clothed me when I was naked. You fed me when I was hungry. And they're going to say, Lord, when have we done this? They didn't even realize they were doing it for God. But God's going to say, when you did it unto mine, you did it unto me. There are times that we need to be a blessing to those we have the opportunity to be a blessing to. You know, I know that the church in general and Christians as individuals are not here to meet everybody's physical need. Our purpose as a church is to preach the gospel to every creature. Our purpose as Christians is to be a witness for Christ. But it's found many times in the Bible that we're to help others when we have the opportunity. Especially help other Christians. Doesn't Paul say, especially unto those that are of the household of faith? Be good to God's people. Lot was good to God's people. Abraham was good to God's people. And I think our traditions of doing things for God is something that we should pass down. Now, I'm going to give you an example of this that I saw here this morning. That last song that we sang, I was looking around, and every kid in this room knew the words to that song. Every kid in this room, I could not see Alyssa, so I don't know if she did or not, but I could see Connor, and I could see Dylan, and I could see Rebecca, and all of these people that had been brought up in church knew the words to the song. That's a tradition that we've passed along to our family, our people under us, our children or our young people, the opportunity to know some of the songs of God. Is that a good thing? Our family, those around us, ought to know some verses of Scripture. They ought to know the gospel. They ought to know what salvation means. But how many Christians today are passing along other traditions? Now, Abraham has passed some traditions on to Lot, has he not? Lot recognizes the people of God. He's courteous to the men of God. He does his best to provide for them, and we've already covered all that. What about Lot's family? What traditions had Lot passed along? We're not gonna look at all the verses in this, but Lot goes to his daughters and sons-in-laws, and the Bible says he was like one that mocked to them. He starts telling them about the things of God, and they just laughed at him. I believe when it says that he was like somebody that mocked, I think it literally means they laughed at him. And when it was all said and done, they did not leave the city with him. They didn't believe in him. They didn't accept what he had to say. So Lot recognized the men of God because Abraham had taught him to do so. But Lot's family did not recognize the men of God because Lot had not taught them to do so. Now, you can't necessarily say that them believing or them not believing was all Lot's fault, because his sons-in-laws were probably men of Sodom. They were probably people that had already been there. But Lot did not pass along the traditions as well as Abraham did, I don't believe. But you know, a lot of times we as Christians, we pass on other traditions. You know, you can teach people to be unfaithful. How many of you believe you can teach somebody to be faithful to the things of God? You can teach them to attend church on a regular basis and study the Bible on a regular basis and pray on a regular basis. If you can teach them to be faithful in those things, you can teach them to be unfaithful in those things. How many people pass on wrong attitudes? You know, a lot of your teaching, a lot of your testimony and example is not necessarily what you say, but the attitude that you portray. Anybody ever been around somebody that had just an attitude of bitterness and anger? Can we pass that along to others? You know, we talked about holding a door open for somebody and greeting somebody. You ever held a door open for somebody and asked them how they were doing, and your response told you, just that brief, maybe 5-second interchange you had with this person tells you that that person is a bitter and angry person? Is that the attitudes that God wants us to have? You know, when the verse of Scripture tells us what character traits and what attitudes are supposed to be put away with all malice, bitterness is one of them. God don't want us to be bitter and angry people. He don't want us to pass that along. He wants us to have an attitude of love for the things of God. How many people pass on the tradition of greed? Now, greed, I'm not talking about you're trying to become the wealthiest person in the world, but I mean you're trying to get everything that you can get. You're trying to get the money you can get and the time you can get and the influence that you can get and the recommendation and the... We as human nature, we as humans want to do what we think is best for us, do we not? And we'll think about ourselves more than we think about anybody else. Do you think Lot was showing greed here? He took two total strangers. Bible says he brought them into his house and cooked them a feast. Is that not what it says? He made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. I believe Lot, when he brought these angels into his house, he gave them the best that he had. There wasn't anything that he had that he wasn't willing to give for these people. Another wrong tradition we can pass on is pride. You know, Lot could have said, you know, I don't need the protection of God. I'm a righteous person. I'm a child of Abraham. Not a child of Abraham, but a family member of Abraham. I've been taught the truth. I know what's right. But Bible says he must have believed what the angel said, because he went out and tried to carry the message. A lot of times we as Christians, we get to the point we don't need the things of God. We don't need to hear the preaching of God. We don't need to study the Word of God, because we're Christians and we know what we need to do. Don't pass on a tradition of pride. Leave yourself in I'm not saying we can't be proud of the things of God. You know, I'm proud, or at least glad to say that I'm a Christian. I know that I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know what the true Word of God is. But we can get to the point where we think we don't need to be taught. And then we're back to the beginning of this lesson where we don't respect and recognize the people God has sent to try to give us direction. There's many traditions that we could talk about that people pass on that are not what God wants them to be. The question is this morning, are you passing along godly traditions or evil traditions? Is God pleased with the influence that you're having on the people around you? You know, I believe we do have an influence on the people around us. People watch us and see whether we are what we claim to be. You know, I used to even tell the guys in the prison on Monday night when they would unlock the doors and they saw those guys coming out carrying their Bible. Everybody around them knew where they were going. They knew what service they were going to. And I would tell those guys, I said, they watch you on Monday night to see where you go. And then they watch you on Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night and every other night of the week to see if you really are who you claim to be. And you're setting a testimony. You're giving an example. Are we the kind of Christians that God wants us to be? You know, I believe Abraham set a good example. Now, was Abraham perfect? Abraham made some pretty big mistakes. If you study the life of Abraham, there were some times that you kind of shake your head and say, Abraham, now why are you doing that? But when it all came down to it, Lot recognized the men of God. Lot listened to the men of God. And Lot allowed the men of God to take him by the hand and lead him where he needed to be because he had seen Abraham's testimony, Abraham's example of dealing with the people of God. Are we giving the people around us the proper example, the proper testimony? You tell them what church you go to, they watch to see what you do, what you believe, how faithful you are, how you talk, what your attitude is. Are they seeing what God wants them to see? Abraham passed down some traditions to Lot. Lot, it appears, failed to pass those traditions on to his family. Probably most of us in here have been taught the things of God. The question is, have we accepted them and are we passing them along? Or are they kind of stopping with us? Don't let the good things of the things of God stop with you. Don't let the traditions that God has given you end with you. I believe it's in the book of Timothy. It says, what thou hast learned of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The things that God has taught you, or the things that God's people have taught you, pass them on to somebody else. And encourage them to be what they should be. You know, I don't want to get too personal. I'll give this as an example and then I'll be done. You know, a lot of who I am today is because of some preachers and some pastors that I've had. You know, I was thinking, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, those of you that have been around me, but I believe I've been under Brother Abner C. Wright as pastor, Brother Tommy O'Dell, and then, of course, Brother Kimball. And all of them have gone on to be with the Lord. In fact, I've got two of their obituaries here in my Bible. I don't have one from Brother C. Wright, I guess. But those people were an influence on me. And I can honestly say that who I am today as a preacher is probably partially affected by all three of those men. All three of those men, God used them at different times and different phases of my life to teach me and lead me to, I believe, what He wanted me to be. Now, my job, my objective is to take some of the things that God has taught me, some of the places that God has led me, and try to teach some others. Try to lead somebody else. Try to pass some of that along. And every one of you, if you would stop and think about it, there's been people that God put in your life at specific times and specific areas that have taught you something, that have led you somewhere, that have increased your knowledge in the things of God. Just remember that if God wants to use people to be an influence on you, God wants to use you to be an influence on people. If every one of the pastors that I've had in my life have been an influence, then that probably tells me that God wants me to be an influence on every member that I've ever pastored. God has put people in your life to direct you. God's put people in your life for you to direct. God's put people in your life to teach you. God's put people in your life for you to teach. The question is, are you being the kind of godly influence that God wants you to be? Let's stand and bow our heads. We're going to ask the musicians to come. Maybe today would be a good time to come to these altars and just realize that God has put people in your life for you to be an influence, and ask Him to help you be the proper influence on the people God has put in your life as they sing.
Page number 401.
Page number 401.